Check, check, check. I'm assuming everybody can hear me out there. There we go. Now I can hear myself. I guess if I put the headphones on, right? All right. Let me hear the... Christy, go ahead and say something.
Good afternoon.
There you go. She's good. She's good. And Henry?
Oh, I'll say something too. Here we are.
All right. I got everybody. I think we're all on. So, welcome to KRAWLP 97.9 on your radio dial. I'm Patrick Gonzalez with my co-host, Henry Nicole.
Welcome, Rollins, to another interview with candidates for City Council. This is going to be a fun show.
Well, it was going to be fun until Henry told me I have to ask the same questions. Anyway, we have with us our first guest candidate running for City Council seat in Ward 2 is Christy
McGagna.
I don't know why I want to say McGagna, but Christy McGagna. And what we're going to do is we'll ask you a few questions here, and I'll try to stay as close to the script as I can. But I like just whatever prompts me and whatever comes to my head. But so we'll get this ball rolling, Christy. And if the first question I'm going to ask you, obviously, is who are you? So I want you to give us a little, 5-minute synopsis, a 5-minute elevator pitch. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running for office. So take it away, Christy.
All right. So I'm Christy McGagna, and I've lived in Wyoming all of my life. The last 4 years have been here in Rollins. I'm a mother of 3 boys. One just graduated from the high school. So he successfully finished his 4 years at the high school. That happens to be where I'm a teacher. I've been there the last 4 years, computer science and engineering teacher. I just finished the 24th year in education, taught a variety from preschool on through adult education, but really enjoying the high school, really enjoy small town high school, get to know all the students. I'm on the Parks and Rec Advisory, and I've been the chairman for the last 3 years of that committee. I'm also on the Wyoming Frontier Prison Joint Powers Advisory Board, and I've been there 2 years now. Maybe it's a little more than 2 years, but that's kind of how I got started. One of the reasons that I'm seeking city council office is because I'm in a community and it becomes home. It's not just a place I'm living, but it's now home, and my family's comfortable. I like to give back because I've always been raised that, I've got a good education. I've had a good experience living in Wyoming all of my life. It's time to give back. My dad was on city council in Rock Springs for 16 years while I was growing up. And so I learned about politics as I grew up and kind of that love of government and civics and so forth. So that kind of how I started with the 2 committees here in town, was appointed to both of those and thought, I've got concerns, I've got questions, my neighbors have concerns, my neighbors have questions. Instead of sitting and just kind of feeding into the gossip or the social media or the BS that's out there, I want to just get in there and get my hands dirty, So I've been listening and kind of learning, spent the last, all of June, talking to different city department heads and business owners and people around the community and just kind of learning everything I can learn about Rollins and Carbon County and, feel like I'm getting more prepared as we go. So, just like a teacher, lifelong learner. So,
well, awesome. Well, yeah. I understand that because all of my family, well, probably 95% of them are all educators. So I know what that's all about. And you made an interesting comment about wanting to give back. It was one of the things that when I graduated from Rollins High School and, flying the coop and leaving the nest, my mother said to me very specifically, don't come back unless you want to, give back or do something, make it worthwhile. And I never forgot that. And since I've been back, I've tried to make a difference. And whether or not I am, that remains to be seen. But I appreciate the fact that you want to give back to the community. And I think that's a great thing. And I'm segueing into that. Well, you kind of stole my thunder here with the second question. But I'll ask, make sure it's not on here. Okay. Why should Rollins, and particularly those folks in Ward 2, why should they vote for you, Christy?
Why not? Look how wonderful I am. That's a bad answer. I'm willing to listen and really hear what people have to say, not just, you know, a bunch of lip service. We all don't want to hear just the, you know, facts. We want to know more. We want to know why decisions were made, why things can't happen the way we want to, why things like the water bills have been increased, those kinds of things that have been on people's minds. As a teacher, you know, if I don't have an answer, I get an answer. I mean, I have to find answers, especially with high school kids. I mean, they'll find it quicker than I'll find it. So I've got to be, you know, ahead of the curve. And so I think I do a very good job of listening and asking questions. And I'm not afraid to go to the source and learn everything I can. And then I truly believe in transparency and communication. And I don't mean just communication where I can put out a social media post or a news article, but I want communication that everybody can understand. I think sometimes they talk right over our heads. And so I am committed to listening, learning, leading for Rollins, and kind of giving that communication and transparency back. Not saying that the current city council isn't doing a great job with that, but we all can do a better job.
I'd like to expand on what you just said. What I agree with what you're saying, but we started this radio station, Rose Kane and I, almost three years ago now, because people in Rollins will talk to each other, but we won't talk to the people that it's important to talk to. And we couldn't get anybody on the radio here for 2.5 years. How would you imagine, with your experience as a teacher and your experience in the public service, how do you get people that you need to have feedback and conversation with to talk when they don't want to talk because there are a lot of reasons why they don't want to talk? How do you deal with the kids in your class who don't participate because for whatever reason, and there are a million reasons?
So teachers have to find a way. I mean, we can't have students that just sit there and never talk, never participate. That's all part of the educational process. So as a teacher, I just get to know the person, get to know what's going to work and what's not going to work, try all sorts of different ways of asking the same question. If they're comfortable with one-on-one, then that's what we do.
Well, you got
one group settings, you know.
You got 8,000 people here. You can't do a one-on-one.
That's true. I can sure try, though. It's going to take a long time.
Well, that was my question: is how do you have a conversation with a community that doesn't really want to have a conversation?
Well, you know, some of the things that I've decided to do just along this campaign trail is I'm going to have an ice cream social later this month. At a community park, and I'm hoping people just show up, have some free ice cream, and just be casual, comfortable. Walking up and down the streets at the dog park, I've engaged with several people in the dog park, just casual conversation, get to know them. We haven't brought up politics, but once you get to know these people and you've seen them over and over, they're your neighbors, they're at the local businesses, then they become comfortable with you. There's that trust, and then I think you can begin to have those conversations. If they want to slip something under my door at my house, I'm fine with that. But I want to hear from people. I'm going to give out my email address, my personal cell phone number. I don't mind if they text or email me or knock on my front door. I want to hear from people, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, that's the only way that we're going to make a difference is to make sure every voice is heard.
You know, that's one of the things that I'm impressed with both Christine and Shalane and yourself, is that the three of you thus far aren't afraid to go out and actually talk to people. And I think that's one of the things that has been lacking from some of our elected officials. You don't hear, in fact, I know a couple of them over the last couple of years, you never heard anything from them for the first 3 years they were in office. And it wasn't until the last 6 months of their tenure, then you finally actually heard them speak at a city council meeting. And I think that that goes a long way into developing the rapport and getting those individuals, you know, Henry just asked that question. I think that's how you get people to engage. And I think as a teacher, that's a skill set that is much needed as a member of city council, being able to engage, getting people to talk to you without going to the extreme side of it. I know on social media, people talk all the time because you're in a comfort zone. And I know in the past, I think they did away with it on Rollins News and Chatter, but there were people posting anonymously, and it kind of brought all those the things that cause one not to want to talk. But if you're anonymous, you know, you can do it without feeling any pressure and whatnot. So you see a lot of those conversations. But I think that's one of the great things that I've seen thus far with our candidates is that they're very open and engaging. And that I think that helps when you are running for office is you gain the trust of the people, and they see that you got an individual that is really making a concerted effort to find out what my concerns are, what I want to see happen. So I applaud that. And as an educator, like I said, most of my family are educators, and I see how they are and how they interact. So I appreciate that. My next question for you, Christy, is given the situation or what you have basically learned and by your ability to investigate and ask questions, what would you do differently than what you have seen or what you've been told over the last few years about our city? What would you do differently to move the community forward as it relates to like community development, the infrastructure problem, getting rid of the community apathy that seems to permeate our lovely community? And I think it's been building over the last several decades. So what would you do different?
So I think, just from what I've listened from people and what I've kind of done my own research, I think the one thing that's lacking, and this goes back to that teacher in me, is it's great to have information. It's great to have a bunch of facts or reports to read. But if you don't know the why, and it's, again, not in a language that's understandable by the majority, that layperson language, then it doesn't mean anything. If it's a report that's 300 pages long, nobody's going to read it. That's just, right. I mean, bedtime stories maybe, but I think that's put you to sleep, not to inform you. So I think what needs to maybe be done in a different way, a little bit better, is just more information, but more of the why. Let's walk through the steps. How did we get here? Let's own it. And what do we do to, correct the issue or to improve the issue, whatever we're dealing with. We all know there's issues with water. We all know that there's, issues with the streets, and I could go on and on. Okay, but how did we get here? Let's face the facts. We got here. What are we going to do? And explain it to me so I can understand it. And maybe do it on a more regular basis. Like, I would like to be committed to, having more meet and greets at local parks or coffee shops or whatever, and just, anybody who wants to show up in Ward 2 or anywhere in Rollins, really, because once you're on the council, you're voting for everybody.
Sure.
Just say, hey, what are the issues? If we can respect each other and talk and have different points of view, then I'm all for it. I think more of that. Let's get back to that old town, wonderful Wyoming feel and not just you know, hiding.
It's funny you bring that up. As a kid, I remember that was almost standard for a member of city council. Of course, we had a different form of government then. It was mayor council form of government. But our council people were out and about. I mean, you knew who your city council people were. They were, you know, pounding the pavement. They were shaking hands, kissing babies, you know, and all that other stuff. So you knew, and there was a lot of community engagement, just like you said, you know, and I think that goes a long way with developing trust with your constituency that help them understand the things that are going on within the city. I know I've heard it, I've said it myself, a lack of transparency over the years. Nobody really knew what was going on until it was sprung on you. And then, you know, there's a lot of community outrage by that because nobody knew. And then all of a sudden you're hit with an increase, for example, in a water bill or something else. And it's frustrating for people. It really is. And I think when you communicate those things clearly, wasn't it Einstein that said something along the lines that if you can't explain it to a six-year-old, then you don't know about it yourself? I'm paraphrasing, of course. But I think that is so critical when you are running for political office, that people can trust you and know that they can come to you when they have concerns and that you will address those and hopefully, you know, try to remedy some of those issues. You know, one of the things which leads me to my next question, how we got to where we are now, for example, with the water situation, with the infrastructure, what would you do if you are elected to help correct faulty planning and poor decision-making that seems to have been par for the course for over the last 40 years? The decisions that have been made have really cost the city in huge ways, you know, not just monetarily, but I think from a growth and development perspective, you know, and business recruitment, et cetera, et cetera. So what would you do differently, or what would you do to help remedy this idea of faulty planning from previous administration?
My understanding from talking to different officials from the city and neighbors and so forth, you know, there's several plans in place that the city has. You know, there's their immediate plans, their long-term plans and so forth to remedy some of these things. As a city council member, I would make sure that I'm up to date on those plans, you know, at all times. I mean, I've sat through city council meetings just like many of us have or listened to them, and you don't always know the rest of the story. You know, I think people need to know the rest of the story within reason. I mean, there are some things that need to be kept confidential, but again, it goes back to making sure people understand the issues. I would want to make sure that we keep up on those plans and don't fall back into that same trap. You know, it's easy in our own households to do the same thing. I got a plumbing issue, leaky toilet. Well, it can wait a few more months until we have a bigger issue.
Right.
And, you know, we're all good at doing that. It's easy to put it away and somebody else will take care of it in 8 to 20 years or 110 years or whatever it's going to be. You can't do that. And just like our own budgets, the economy's not great. Prices are going up. And so the longer it takes to remedy situations, the more it's going to cost. And of course, you and I both are taxpayers. We know what that's going to do to our pocketbooks. So I like to ask questions and dig. So I'm going to ask questions and I'm going to learn and do what needs to be done to make sure that we're not going right back into those same patterns or creating new ones.
It also sounds to me like you pretty much said, or at least I like the idea of transparency from our city council.
Yes, I think transparency is important in any elected body. I was on a school board in Green River for 2 terms, 8 years. And I mean, that was one of the biggest things that I always heard from teachers and community is there's not enough transparency in communication.
Why do you suppose that is? I'm going to kind of go off script here, but why do you think that the transparency issue is so problematic, not only in, well, like you said, from the school board, but specifically in smaller communities, like municipal government, why is transparency such a big issue?
You know, I wonder, we're all human beings, and I think sometimes, you know, the more information you give, the more questions are raised, and more people want to talk to you, and it begins to maybe be uncomfortable. I think that's a lot of it, is the more information out there, the more accountability you have, and more questions, and your job becomes a little harder. You know, if I just don't give you enough information, then maybe you'll forget about it.
That sounds to me like that's been par for the course for our elected officials. And, you know, you're getting paid by the taxpayer dollar to represent the people of the city of Rawlins. I would think it's not supposed to be easy. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it. But that's why, you know, people run for office, because it shouldn't be easy. It should be hard. And it should be like a regular job. Which leads me to this question. I don't recall that I actually said this, but apparently somebody interpreted it this way. But what would you do to reduce obscure decision-making prior to the public disclosure, off-the-record considerations, and cabal voting?
Yeah, that was my question last week. Because we've had a problem in previous administration of having a cabal that had a majority and a quorum, and a lot of decisions were made, considerations were made before an open meeting, and then announced to the general population all of a sudden, and nobody knew about that, and now there's a vote, and they have a quorum and a majority, and it's passed. And we're all looking around each other, what's all this about? How do you deal with that?
Well, there's open meeting laws in this country, in the state of Wyoming.
Yeah, we know about those.
I mean, people break laws, but so, you know, if I was sideswiped by that or caught privy to that information, I mean, I would, you know, do the right thing and report it, because ethically we're elected and we have to follow those laws, those, you know, legislation that's put forth. And we have to make sure that, again, it goes back to that transparency and that everything's above board and that it's discussed in the meetings correctly. And I definitely wouldn't be part of that. I know better. I know that, you know, you can't even, or if you go to dinner without notifying the press that there's going to be a meeting, and dinner isn't a meeting. So you can't do that. I know back when I was on the school board, you know, even graduation, we had to publicly announce we're going to be at graduation, because you'd have a quorum at graduation, can't make decisions. City council's no different. And so, no, I wouldn't want to fall into the good old boy or good old girl clubs. And I guess I would be a whistleblower.
I was going to say, it sounds to me like, you know, that we have somebody in our midst here that has integrity, and I appreciate that.
You have to have the courage to go with that. Just knowing you're right and trying to do the right thing. If you don't have a general concept of how do you deal with people who do not obey the rules, and you're one out of seven, it's a problem. And we've seen that in the last 10 years that it becomes a problem. So that's why I asked the questions, because this stuff happens. And if it does happen and you're not part of the majority, you really don't have any evidence what happened. But, you know, all of a sudden you have these mysteries that come up and out in public that nobody knew about before. And it's a difficult problem. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with
you can say incompetent, because our previous administration was, and I don't have any qualms saying that, and they were doing some of the things that Christy was just talking about. They were having, you know, they weren't necessarily all in the same room, but even texting or having telephone calls and talking about city business, that is you are actually having a meeting. It may not be in council chambers, and you're discussing city business. That is a meeting, whether you want to believe it or not, and we know that those things were happening.
And when you look at it from an ethical perspective, and I'm going to quote Patrick's quote from last week, because it's something that's very common, that we had a specific example. We had a, speaking of ethics, if you have a council that says, we don't need ethics, it just gets in the way of doing business. What do you do as a single council person? Will you think about what you might have to do under those circumstances? Because it's if you can't take anybody out of office until the next election, and the city council refuses to have provision to remove an effective city council person, and if ethics are a problem because it gets in the way of things, I just want you to think about that. I don't expect an answer.
Yeah, I do have somewhat of an answer. I think, you know, the meetings are public, they're recorded, they're right in front of the city attorney. Everybody has, you know, a record of those meetings. I think that's when you're like, hey, time out. What's going on here? And you start questioning it publicly, then it's on record. And you do that until change is made, because eventually somebody's going to catch wind of that. I mean, laws are laws. We've got to follow the protocols that are put before us. I know we've got a city council down the road from us that are going through all kinds of circus of ethics.
Oh, it's because I was just reading it.
Yeah. You know, right or wrong, I mean, I know that's all those members of the city council and the mayor, and shame on them for letting things get this out of hand. It's Wyoming a bad.
It does.
And I don't want to see Rollins like that.
Well, you know, the sad thing, too, is it's not just the community you're talking about. There were issues in Casper. There were issues in Gillette. And some of them had to deal with the Public Meetings Act, all those things. One of the things I've asked since I've been back in Rollins, and I want your thoughts on this, but I've asked the question more than once, why is it that Rollins goes into executive session every city council meeting? And I went and researched, they go into executive session with a community of 8,225 people. They go into executive session every meeting, and they have more executive sessions than the city of Los Angeles.
I've noticed that too. And I'm not sure what they go into, because, of course, those are, you know, sealed confidential records that we don't get to hear about. I could only hope that they're following those seven or so reasons to go into executive session, you know, legal issues, personnel, whatever. Either we've got a lot of things going on in this town or something else. And I guess if I'm elected, I'll know what the something else is.
Right.
But I've noticed that, and I hope it's, you know, and the city attorney is usually involved. I'm hoping everything is on the up and up with that.
I'm
a teacher. I'm always thinking the most optimistic, you know.
And I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that one.
Yeah, there we have some problems with city attorneys over the years too. But what I wanted to respond to your comment just now is that, and I believe I'm correct, don't quote me because I have a short memory, but I believe the city of Gillette, in terms of the executive sessions, will tell the community what category of exception is being discussed, whether it's personnel or lawsuits, and we refuse to say anything about what we have. And I've talked to a couple city council people early when I came here, that I don't know what's going, what the meeting's about. I won't know until I get there. We never know until we get there. It's, to me, that seems like a problem that somebody ought to think about, if not address it. I just thought I'd bring it up in the,
it's a good point. And I mean, if I recall, for the 8 years I was on the school board in Green River, we didn't know exactly what was going to be said, obviously, in executive session, but we know why we were going in there. It was personnel, it was, you know, land purchase, it was something legal.
Right.
We knew at least the category.
The category. And I think it would help, I think, in that way. But we are, can you believe we're already at the bottom of the hour? So you have exactly 1 minute to give us your elevator pitch on why we should vote for you, Christy.
Did we use that much time?
Yes.
We've been having a good time.
Well, I'd like to have more of these conversations, by the way.
Yes, I've come back and give you updates after all the council meetings if you'd like, whatever you want. what I can give anyway, I mean, certain things can't be shared.
All right, I'll let her.
But anyway, I just would like to give back to the community of Rollins. I think I'm a good listener. I think I'm good at asking questions and researching things and making, relationships strong with people so that there's trust. I believe in transparency and communication that everybody can understand. And that's why I would like to be on the city council is, this is my home. My youngest is only in sixth grade, so I have at least 7 more years till he's done and I can retire. So here I am. I might as well
do something
with my time, right?
Well, Christy, we want to say thank you for accepting our invitation to come in and talk to us and let people get to know you a little bit better. We appreciate that. We want to wish you well in your campaign for city council, Ward 2.
Ward 2.
So those of you in Ward 2, if you like what you've heard, by all means, please cast your vote and help Christy get elected. And I think we have so far 3 very good candidates for the positions they're running for. And again, we want to thank you for coming in and sharing. I know you've got to get going. You've got another meeting, but we appreciate that and wish you well and good luck.
Thank you.